We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Everybody, how are we doing today? Are we doing good? We're about to receive the Word of God together. That's the second of the three things we do together. We've worshiped God together, right? Everybody worship the Lord. Yeah. Can we hear it for our worship team? Yeah. Didn't they do a great job today? They always do such a great job. Yes. And I want to underline two very important people around here. Everyone say Shelton. And Ann. Mono. We love them. They've done so much here at Redemption Church. Yeah. I've got some sad news. Today is their last day with us leading you in worship on a Sunday. And that's sad because we love them so much. But we want to bless them today. Before today's over, could you tell them how much they have meant to you, how much their ministry has meant to you, how much their ministry has meant to young people ministering to the youth around here, all right? And I've also got another good reason for you to come to First Wednesday Worship. They're going to be at the next First Day Worship, worshiping with us in December. So get your mono tank filled up at First Wednesday Worship, all right? I'm serious. Before today's over, thank them for us. We love the monos. Before today's over, we're going to be praying for them, blessing on them in Jesus' name. Welcome to, what's the name of this place? Redemption Church. That's right. My name is Chris Fluitt. I did remember that. And I am excited to be sharing the Word of God with you today. Hello to everyone experiencing this online, Facebook Live, YouTube. Who knows what this hooks up to? The internet is the series of tubes. We just have no idea how it even works. It's a mystery. But somehow you're listening to this right now. One day we hope you can meet us in person, worship with us in person in beautiful Plano, Texas. I want your help today. Can I have your help today? Will you preach with the preacher today? All right. I also need your help in another way. We're handing out note cards and pens as I am talking. Around the place, we're handing out note cards and pens. On one side of the note card, I want you to write the word that you would use to fill in the blank. All right, here's the blank. I might give up on God if I ever lost blank. Take a second. Go with your gut response. It's probably good, but think for a moment. But somewhere in there, if something lines up there. I might give up on God if I ever lost blank. Fill in the blank. I want you to be as honest as possible, okay? It is understandable that there are some situations in life that would at least give you pause. There are some situations in life that are just downright scary. We don't like to think about those things. We put those thoughts in a closet in the back room of our brain, and we don't like to think about those things. But for a moment, dig one of those thoughts out. I might give up on God if I ever lost blank. All our online viewers and listeners, why don't you take a moment, write down your own response. Hurry, because I've got another blank for you to fill. Turn that card over, and on the second side of that card, I want you to fill in this blank. Satan is after my blank. Satan is after my blank. What is it? Fill that in. If Satan is after something of yours, it would probably be wise to take time to identify his plan, right? If he's after something, maybe we ought to know what he's after, and we ought to make plans to foil what he's trying to do, what he's trying to steal. And if there is something you could lose that would cause you to give up on God, that would certainly be worth identifying as well. Wouldn't you agree? All right. There is something you could lose that would cause you to give up on God. There is. It exists. And today I want you to focus on this thing. It is called faith. Look at somebody, say faith. Faith Changara. Not that kind of faith. If we ever lost faith, we'd give up. All right. If we lose our faith, we have given up on God. Does that make sense? Are you with me? If we lose our faith, we have given up on God. In the words of the great song, in the words of the great song by the artist Sting, you already know where I'm going. If I ever lose my faith in you, there'd be nothing left for me to do. Great song by Sting. I love that. But what is faith? We need to talk about that, right? What is faith? We throw out the word faith often, don't we? But maybe we don't understand what the word faith is. We use it a lot. Do we understand it? Here's an answer, a scriptural answer, right? Who can tell me what verse I'm going to go to? Hebrews 11 and 1. It's called the faith chapter. And the first verse gives you a nice little definition for faith. Look at that. Hebrews 11 and 1. Go ahead and read this out loud with me. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. All right, and you can hear lots of sermons about this passage right there. It's a great verse, and there's a lot of spiritual, supernatural insight in this verse, but can I give you something a little simpler for you to contemplate today? A little simpler than Hebrews 11 and 1. I want to give you the idea of faith in a way a child can understand. Here it is. Faith is believing what God says is true. Say that out loud with me. Faith is believing what God says is true. If God says He loves you, does God say He loves you? Yes. Oh, absolutely. Then faith is believing He truly loves you. You follow me? If God says He will forgive you and forget all your sins, then faith is believing what He promised is true. You follow me? Faith is believing what God says is true. And here's the other idea with this. I want you to put this in your heart. Faith is tied to truth. Faith is tied to truth. You have faith in God if you believe what He says is true. And it is because you believe His words are true that you actually obey His words. If you say you believe His words but don't obey His words, then maybe that's not really faith, right? If you believe His words but don't follow what His words say, that's not what faith is about either, right? Because faith is truly believing His words are true. You believe them so much that you actually obey His words. Faith is tied to what?
Truth.
Truth. One more time. Faith is tied to what?
Truth.
In the Garden of Eden, the snake tried to cut the tie between Eve's faith and God's truth. Look at this verse, Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Do you see? He just got out a pair of scissors and he went, "Okay, you believe this thing, but maybe it's not true. Maybe God didn't really say it." And he just took a pair of scissors that cut the tie between faith and
truth.
Faith is tied to truth. Earlier I asked this question, fill in the blank. I want you to consider that Satan is after my faith. Can you say that sentence with me? Faith, that Satan is after my faith. Can you say that with me? Satan is after my faith. All right. Can I tell you something? That you are a big deal. And some of y'all are like, "Oh, I already know. I'm just such a big deal." No, listen. You really are a big deal. You're important. Do you realize that you are at the center of a cosmic struggle between God and evil? And you're at the very center of it. It's all focused on you. That all the forces of heaven are trying to rescue you, and all the forces of hell are trying to damn you. Anybody see Infinity Wars this year? Avengers Infinity War? You are at the center of an Infinity War. Everybody's coming out of the spiritual woodwork to fight over you. Look at somebody and say, "You're a big deal." The decisions you make are a big deal. The side you choose is a big deal. Deciding to have faith or not is a big deal. Deciding to pray or not is a big deal. Some of you were like, "It's not that important if I worship." Are you kidding me? You're at the center of a cosmic struggle between God and evil. It's important that you worship. It's important that you pray. It's important that you receive the Word of God today. Is anybody going to receive the Word of God today? I want to tell you why the struggle includes you. Here's two reasons why the struggle includes you. Number one, God wants you. Number two, Satan wants your faith. Number one, God wants you. And Satan, number two, wants your faith. God wants you by his side. Are y'all with me today? Now, if I'm not preaching truth, y'all can be quiet. But if I'm preaching truth, you better amen the preacher. God wants you by his side. God wants you in his kingdom. God actually sits you in his throne. Amen. You know that, right? The Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. God wants to provide for you. God wants to empower you. God wants to have relationship with you. He wants to give his only son for you. God wants you. Look at somebody and say, God wants you. God wants you. Is Satan anything like that? Satan is entirely different. Satan does not want you by his side. He wants you under his feet. Satan does not want to give you anything, but he wants to steal. He wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. Very good, John 10 and 10. Satan does not want you. He really just doesn't want God to have you. You follow me? Satan does not actually want you. He just doesn't want God to have you. Have you ever seen a spoiled kid? Right? They actually don't want the toy until they see someone else playing the toy with the toy. Then suddenly they want the toy. And we're smart enough to know they really don't want the toy. They just don't want the other kid to have the toy. Satan is a spoiled, rotten brat. He's a childish little demon. That's what he is. Satan is like the spoiled kid who only wants to play with the toy that some other kid is playing with. Satan's motives is not having you, but Satan's motives are keeping you from God. Say amen if you believe it.
Amen.
God wants you, and God has you through faith.
All right.
Through faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through what? Through faith. I'm sure it meant church attendance. I'm sure it meant not saying curse words. I'm sure it meant, you know, listening to Christian music, having a WWJD bracelet. No. Those things, they're all well and good. They're all well in their place. But no, you're children of God through only one thing. What is it? What is it? Somebody say it. What makes you a child of God? It is your faith, Ephesians 2 and 8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. You're saved by grace through what?
Faith.
Anybody saved in this house?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you didn't earn that. It's a gift from God. It comes by grace and it comes through
faith.
All right. Somebody ought to be happy about it. I love it. God has you through faith. So what does Satan want? He wants your faith. God has you through faith. And he's looking at that. If faith were a toy in the playground, he's like, I want that. I want that. Satan is after my faith. Luke chapter 22, we're going to look at verse 31 and 32. We're going to take some time on this verse here. Here it is. Jesus is talking. Verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Right? Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Verse 32. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So Satan is after who? How do we know that Satan's after Simon Peter? Because Jesus said so. Is that good enough for you?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I believe he would tell you this, that Satan's also after you. I don't mean to make you afraid today, but you need to be aware of the enemy. Now, nowhere in this few verses does Peter get afraid. Nowhere in these verses does Jesus try to scare Peter. Some people have used these verses to put a lot of fear in people, all right? Or Satan's after you, so now we're going to take up an offering. You want to defeat? Yeah, like that would do it, right? Like, well, it's, you know, that Lamborghini fund for pastor is kind of low. We need to, no, sir. But people, we're not doing that for you today. We're not trying to scare you, but you need to be aware of the enemy. There is an enemy, and he is after you. Now, I want you to answer. Okay, sorry. Jesus does what after he says this? Jesus prays. Right? He tells him that Satan is after you. Satan wants to sift you as wheat. But then Jesus does what? If Satan's after you, you need to
pray.
Some of you have felt like the devil's been after you, but you haven't prayed. What are you going to do? What, you got to pray, church. Pray about these things. You think that somebody in your life is being under the attack of the enemy, then you ought to pray. It's real simple. It's what Jesus did right here. And how did Jesus pray? Now, wait, before you answer that, let's answer this with your note card. I want you to take your note card there. And remember, I told you, I want you to take the word you put into this sentence. If I ever lose my blank, I might give up on God. I might give up on God if I ever lose my blank. I want you to take that word. Look at that word. You got it? You got that word? All right. Take that thing that if you lost, you might give up on God and put it in this blank. All right. But I have prayed for you that your blank may not fail. Put that word in there. Think about that for a second. Does that sound like what Jesus would pray for? But I've prayed for you that your blank may not fail. Some of you might have put job in there. Man, if I ever lose my job, I might just give up on God. Okay, Jesus prayed, but I have prayed for you that your job may not fail. That just doesn't feel right, does it? Y'all can tell me if that doesn't. Somebody think that feel right? No, it doesn't. All right, let's move on. Oh, my house and my car. If I ever lost my house and my car. But I have prayed for you that your house and car may not fail. Come on, your house and car, they fail all the time, right? If you're a homeowner, oh Lord, pray for, you should be in this altar later if you're, because something in your house is already broken or about to break. That's just like being a homeowner. How about this one? Marriage, relationships, people in your life. Some of you wrote that if you lost your marriage, if you lost relationships, if you lost people in your life, that you'd give up on God. So let's put it in there. Does that seem right? But I have prayed for you that your marriage may not fail. It just doesn't quite fit, does it? How about health? There's a lot of people that give up on God when they hear a bad report from the doctor. But I pray for you that your health may not fail. How about money? Oh man, if I ever lost all my money, if I ever had to declare bankruptcy, I would give up on God. Well, let's pray that one. But does Jesus say, but I have prayed for you that your money may not fail?
No.
How about the respect of others? There are some people you are totally controlled by what other people think about you. And usually we preach this to kids in high school, but it's not just kids in high school. Adults, we are just as bad as everyone else. We really think about what everybody says about us. There's certain things. Some of you have never shared Jesus with somebody because you're afraid of what they're going to say about you. How about that? But I have prayed for you that the respect you receive from other people will not fail. Does this seem spiritual? Does this seem like the supernatural Jesus? Not at all. There's a reason he doesn't pray on any of these things. There have been people who have given up on God because they've lost some of these things. Raise your hands if you know somebody that has given up on God for something similar to the list that I've said. Come on, all over this house, don't be shy. Come on, some of y'all don't know enough people, because I know many people that have turned away from God because of health, because they lost their car, because they lost their marriage. Are y'all with me today? I need you to be with me, church. Perhaps you place one of these things on one side of the note card. If I lost blank, I might give up on God. But let's talk about the other statement. So you've seen one side of the card. Turn around the other card. The other statement, Satan is after my blank. I don't think anyone would say Satan was after their job or their car. Got me? Is that right? Make sense? I think very few, maybe some, but very few would say that Satan was actually after their marriage. after their health. Maybe a few. But definitely, like, Satan's after your money. That doesn't even make sense, right? Satan's after your Honda Civic. He is coming for your Honda Civic. He wants your Honda Civic so bad. It's got a CD player in it and everything. I imagine most of the people in this room probably decided Satan was after your soul. Kind of nod to me if that's about right. Satan's after your soul. You wouldn't be wrong with that statement, by the way. But Jesus answers, "But I have prayed for you that your," say it, "faith may not fail." Jesus doesn't pray for Peter's job, but his faith. He doesn't pray for the house and the car, but Peter's faith. Doesn't pray for your marriage, your relationship, or people in your life. Jesus prays for faith, not your health, not your money, not the respect of others, but your faith. Isn't that right? All right. Now, you've seen both sides of your cards. I don't want you to tell anybody in the room because we're scared to death. Somebody's going to know. All right, but real quick. Is there perhaps in your mind a disconnect between what Satan is actually after and what we are willing to give up on God over? Is there perhaps a disconnect between what Satan is trying to take from you and what you would actually turn away from God, give up on God over? Is there a disconnect between both sides of those cards? Jesus did not pray for Satan to quit, did he? Gosh, if I could rewrite a few verses, this would be one I would, in my own mind, I would pray. In fact, most of us have prayed that way. Oh, God, stop Satan. No, we've prayed that way. God, stop the enemy. But that's not what he prays, is it? Jesus doesn't pray, "Lord, let Satan become distracted. Let Satan see something shiny over there and forget about Peter." No, he doesn't pray that. Maybe, "Oh, Lord, let him lose interest." No. "Lord, how about this one? Lord, let the devil fail." He doesn't pray that. That seems like a logical prayer. But he doesn't pray that. Most of our prayers are for our enemies to be stopped and defeated, right? But Jesus prays differently. He prays that the faith of Peter doesn't fail. When was the last time you prayed for faith? When was the last time you looked at the biggest problem in your life and said, instead of praying, "Lord, get that person out of my life," you started praying for that person's faith? What if instead of saying, "Oh, Lord, put all my ducks in a row and get all my life in order," instead of praying that, you started saying, "God, help my faith because I'm not seeing it. I'm not believing it like I should. God, help my faith." Faith is tied to what? Faith is tied to truth. "God, I believe everything you say is true. Lord, help me to have that faith that is completely tied to your truth and not to what I see." Child of God, when was the last time you prayed for an unfailing faith? I want you to say sifting. We're going to talk a little bit about this word here, sifting. Jesus says it right. He says that Satan has asked to sift you all as wheat. Okay, we're going to talk about it. Jesus gives us a powerful illustration. I want you to pay attention to the word of God, all right? Sifting is something that his audience, Peter and the rest of the disciples, clearly understood, but we city folk might not understand it all that well. So let's explain it. Let's get down to what it's all about. Sifting is the process of separating the valuable from the worthless. Sifting is the act of removing what is important and leaving behind what is unimportant, discarded materials. That's what it means to sift, right? "Simon, Simon," Satan asked to sift all of you as wheat. How do you sift wheat? Well, we actually showed you an important part of the sifting process in our video intro. Before I actually got up here and started talking, we're going to show that again to you while I'm talking. It's going to air on this screen again, right here, like any moment, right now. There it is. Good. This is the process that comes before the sifting. This is called threshing. The harvester has cut down the wheat stalks from the field and has taken them, spread them out over a mat, and has begun to beat the stalks with an instrument called a flail. The harvester is after one thing. He's after one singular thing, and in order to get this one thing, he violently attacks the wheat. He is knocking the wheat around to break it up and loosen it up. Simon, Simon, Satan is a harvester who aims to sift you. But before he sifts, he threshes. Satan will take you. He will cut you off from the source of life. He will take you. He will spread you out over a mat. And he will try to land blow after blow after blow against you. Why? Because he hopes to shake you up enough for you to let go of the one thing that he is after. What is he after? Satan is after my faith. Say it again. After the harvester has beaten the kernel from the stalk, he picks up the stalk. He shakes free any remaining kernels, and then he just throws away the stalks because he was never after the stalk. The harvester then beats on the kernels, breaking them apart. There are two parts to the kernel, the chaff and the meat. The chaff and the meat. I know it's weird to call meat a part of wheat, but that internal grain is called the meat. That is what he is after. The chaff is a casing. It is a husk. It is a hull. It is a shell. It is simply a container. Inside the chaff casing is what the harvester was after all along. Inside the casing is the meat. It is the grain that is known as wheat. You see, the wheat plant is a big plant. It's a big stalk. But really what you're after is this small little piece, long past the stalk and hidden inside the chaff. You grow wheat not because you want the stalks. You grow wheat not because you want the chaff. You grow wheat because you want the meat. You follow me? At this point, the harvester is left with chaff and meat. He needs to separate the chaff from the meat, and this is called sifting. A process called sifting and winnowing. We're going to show this video right here. After all the beating and the flailing and the shaking of the wheat stalk, now all it requires to separate the chaff from the meat is a little bit of wind. Right there on your screen, they are pouring the wheat and the chaff together from a bucket. Straight below that bucket is a container to catch what is being poured. But there is also a box fan set to medium. And as the contents pour from the bucket to the container below, the fan blows away what? The chaff. And only the heavy meat reaches the container. This is what it means to sift. There's a process called threshing, sifting, and winnowing. Luke 22 and 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all as wheat. Sifting is taking and separating what's important and what's unimportant. Right. Satan longs to take what's important from you and leave you with what's unimportant. Satan wants to take all the valuable things from you and leave you with what is valuable, Simon. That's what he wants to do. Satan wants to take you. He wants to cut you down. He wants to flail you. He wants to shake you. He wants to break you up. And then he wants to take you apart. He wants to sift you. Satan is not focused on the chaff, is he? But are we focused on the chaff? Can I tell you something? This is not going to be popular, but I want you to listen. Your job is chaff. Your marriage, oh, this sounds sacrilegious to even say it, but it's true. Your marriage is chaff. Your health, it's chaff. Your money, it's chaff. The things you said you were willing to give up on God over, they're probably chaff. In fact, if you filled in that blank with anything other than Jesus and your faith in Jesus, then you've written down that you are willing to give up on God over chaff. Satan's not focused on the chaff, but we are. Satan has found out that he doesn't have to steal your faith. You see, here's the truth. Satan actually can't steal your faith. Who gave you your faith? God has given you your faith. The Bible says very clearly that God has given each person a measure of God has given each person a measure of faith. It came from who? God gave it to you. Who can take it from you? No one can take it from you, but you can let go of it. You can give it up. Are you following me? Now, Satan has found out that he doesn't have to steal your faith. And that's really because he can't steal your faith. But he has also found out that all he has to do is mess with a little bit of your chaff. If he can just break up a little bit of your chaff, then you are willing to give up the meat. You are willing to give up the grain. You are willing to give up what matters most, what he was always after, and that is your faith. Because we are focused on the chaff and not the meat. Don't you understand? This was the whole altercation between God, between Satan and Job. He came up to him and he messed with his marriage. He messed with his health. He messed with his kids. He messed with his family. He messed with his house. He messed with his belongings. He messed with his servants. What is that? Chaff, 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 chaff. And his wife said, you might as well curse God and die. We have lost this thing. It is blown away. It has been beaten from us. It has been threshed from us. It has been cut down. It has been beaten off. And now it is gone with the wind. It is blown away. That's the whole story of Job. But was Job focused on the chaff? Or was he focused on his faith? Oh, he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But somebody help me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says this. He says, though God slays me, though God kills me, though God takes the last bit of my life and my life is over, that's all right. Still, I will trust him. I'm going to carry my faith all the way to the end. He was focused on his faith, even when all the chaff was blowing away. And Satan was up in heaven saying, oh my, I'll get him to curse you. I'll get him to turn away from you. I will attack his chaff, and he will give up on his faith. But it didn't work because he was focused on his faith and not the chaff. We need to realize today how important faith in God is. And this is one of those things you'll just go, oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we already know. No, you listen to me. You are willing to give up on God over chaff. You are willing to give up on God because a flat tire. Oh, come on, somebody. You get a flat tire going down the road and you're like, God, why do you hate me all of a sudden? You do that. God, I'm having kid trouble with my family. This bill came out of nowhere. God, you give up on God. You start cutting the chaff, the situations of life. You let them come along and cut the string, the tie between faith and truth. God must not really care about me anymore. Why? Because of chaff. Because you're focused on the chaff and not the meat. Satan understands faith more than us. He understands the importance of faith more than us. 1 John 5:4, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our ability not to sin. Is that not what it says? Because most of y'all, that's how y'all live. Y'all got religious rules, and that's how you're going to overcome the world. No, no, no. You overcome the world through what? One thing. Faith. Faith. God says it, and I believe it. It's true, and I'm tied to it. That is what overcomes the world. Verse 5, look at it. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one that believes Jesus is the Son of God. What is your victory? This is the victory that overcomes the world. It is your faith. Who overcomes the world? The one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. Your faith is everything Satan is after. He is willing to break up the chaff to get to your faith. One day, the chaff is going to blow away. The things you might give up on God if you lost, well, if God allows enough time, those things will eventually happen. Do you understand me? They will eventually happen. If you wrote that you would give up if a certain person died, I guarantee you half this room wrote it. Newsflash, unless Jesus returns in less than 100 years, all of us will probably die. In less than 100 years, your children will probably die. I am not trying to diss your children or anybody that you love, but listen. Our bodies are only chaff. Our lives are a vapor. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. They're just a casing. They're just a hull. They're just a husk. One day, your body will be in a tomb unless Jesus returns before that happens. And you wrote that down that you're going to give up on God. Newsflash. It's going to happen. Eventually, the chaff gets revealed for chaff and it blows away. You buy that new car, and guess what? You're just like, you're on cloud nine because you bought that new car. Some of you daydream about buying a new car. Okay, I got one word for me. It's not a spiritual word, but here it is. Sucker. It's not a spiritual word, but it's true. That company with the ads wants you to think that way. Because that thing's chaff. And you just wait. You'll go 1 mile past your warranty. And it will reveal itself to be chaff. If you wrote that your job is the one thing you can't lose, if I lose my job, I'm going to give up on God. Newsflash, your job is chaff. It's not permanent. If Jesus returned next week, guess what? Would you be upset that your job went away? No. So some of y'all are on death's door because you didn't get a promotion, or you lost your job, or something like that. If Jesus returns today, are you going to spend one moment in heaven thinking about, well, my job, I just wish my... No, it's chaff. Look at somebody say, it's chaff. One day it's going to blow away. You saw that chaff and the meat coming out of that bucket, and that chaff... Chaff had no choice. A little bit of wind. All it took was a little bit of wind. Just blew it right away. Do you think the farmer, the harvester was like, oh no, I've lost all my chaff. What am I going to do? No, he's like, that's what I meant to. Sometimes the chaff is in the way. Sometimes you can't be focused on what's truly important because you've got so much unimportant stuff in your life. Come on, somebody. The preacher's preaching. Sometimes we are so focused on what someone else said that we don't take any time anymore to think about what the Lord said about us. Sometimes we are so gripped with fear that we can't even open up our Bible and understand. Whoa, it says, you know what it says about me? I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. Oh, rejoice not against me, oh my enemy. But if you're focused on the chaff, oh, Sally at work, she said the worst things about me. You lose complete track over the truth of God, over your faith, because of chaff. I want to tell you, this is not easy. I don't mean to make this sound so easy, but I mean to be very direct with you. if you receive the worst news possible from the doctor, news of a terminal disease, maybe cancer, maybe something they don't even know. That's the worst, right? When the doctors have no clue what it is. It's the worst. I hate that. Don't you remember that your flesh is chaff anyway? What is really important is inside the chaff casing. What's really important is not your body. It's what's inside your body. As we are about to come to talk to God, I want to focus not on the chaff, but on the meat. I want you to focus on your faith. Today, I want you to take that note card. I know I did a dirty trick to you. I asked you to fill in those blanks, and then I preached to you all about your blanks. I'm sorry about that, but I want you to take that note card. I want you to take that thing that you are willing to give up on God over. And I want you to take it to this altar. And I want you to declare, God, believing in you is more important than this thing. If I lose it all, God, I'm still going to believe in you. Before today's over, I want every note card here on this altar. I want you to come bring it to this altar. Leave it at this altar. And could you, in faith, then back up and raise your hands and worship God? Could you, in faith, say, God, that thing scares me to death, but I believe what you said. And my faith, I need to retie my faith to the truth of God. And they're going to sing a song. It's going to declare truth. I want you to take that truth and start singing it to God, worshiping God in that truth. Can you come right now? Can you come repent of being focused on the chaff? Could you leave it behind? Could you act like the chaff isn't important? Could you act like God is important? Can you do some things in faith today? Can you pray in faith today? Can you lift your hands in worship in faith today? Perhaps you're facing some hard situations. I want you to remember that faith is tied to truth. Could you just stand here and begin to declare the truth of God? God, you're more than enough for me. God, you hold me in your hands. God, you love me. God, I am forgiven and I am accepted by you. Come on, in this house, if you are in this place and you are dealing with something, you don't know what to do, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. We want to pray with you in faith, and we believe God is going to meet your needs right here where I'm standing. In this first 2 feet, I want to see people come into this altar today and ask for prayer. If you come into this area, we're going to pray for you. If you don't come into this area, we're just going to leave you alone to talk to God. But come on, let's talk to God. Let's let go of the chaff. Let's reach out and receive what's important. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everybody in this house. I pray for everybody listening, watching online. God, Lord, get a hold of our hearts, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, let us be willing to leave it all behind like Jesus was willing to leave it all behind for the glory of God and for our salvation. Father, in Jesus' name, minister to every heart in this place, God. Lord, let us turn over the chaff to you, and let us, God, let us walk by faith. Let us live by faith. Let us move in our faith, God, in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, let's pray. Let's reach out to God in this house in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.